Let's talk about tonight's debate. Dr. Todd Graham is a professor of debate at Southern Illinois University, and his debate teams at SIU have won national championships. Dr. Graham, thanks for joining us this morning. I enjoy your commentary because you're not left, you're not right, you're just about the debate, and that's what I want to ask you about this morning. Why do incumbent presidents always lose the first debate, or at least don't do well?
They haven't practiced. thanks for having me on today. But yeah, it's they haven't practiced. You know, they've been 4 years, and in my mind, when Obama had a bad debate in his first debate against Mitt Romney, I thought it was a little bit of even arrogance. I just thought that he had such good debates against McCain 4 years ago that his team didn't think they needed the same sort of practice. But, of course, they did. And so 4 years goes by, a lot of things can change. And I'll give you an example of that. Chris Wallace in 2016 was the best moderator we had. He handled Trump pretty well, although there were a lot of interruptions with Trump and Biden, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Chris Wallace then rested on his laurels, didn't practice moderating, didn't think about it, et cetera, and then took over that first debate between Trump and Biden and did the worst job imaginable as a moderator. So all of them need practice.
What is the job of the moderator? Is it to fact check in real time?
You know what? I think some of that needs to be done. The easiest way to do it is just to present it in your question. So you present in your question, these are some statistics or facts, or these are things you've said. Now, going forward, what would you do? It makes it a little bit more difficult for the candidates to, you know, kind of speak mistruths about what they've said before. Well, I didn't say that. Well, maybe this didn't happen. So the best way to fact check them is to put it up front, up top in the question, and then have a much longer question, but you've already got the facts out there. What doesn't look good in a debate is to ask them a question, have one of the two presidential candidates answer it, and then go back and say, well, actually, I'm not sure that's right. Mm-hmm. So you really need to put that in the question.
Both candidates have agreed to the rules, and they've already decided who gets the last word. Does the closing statement, whoever has the closing statement, does that person have an advantage?
Nope. It's meaningless. It's completely meaningless. I've watched the last 70-some presidential debates, primary debates and regular debates, and there's a couple reasons why the closings are meaningless. The first is that very few people actually tune in all the way through the closings. Also, very few columnists will write about that. One of the things is some people who don't watch the debates, they want to read or hear about it and see who they think won. Well, most of the prognosticators don't actually watch through the end. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this, but, you know, they've got to have the print deadline out. They've got to have a story out. Hmm. And so most of them don't pay much attention to the back half of the debate, especially the conclusion. So, no, I don't think they've ever, there's never been a moment where I went, that's a great conclusion. That might help this person win the debate. Just hasn't happened.
Hasn't that changed a little bit with social media, though, and the fact that those posts can be, instantly put up there at any hour?
It's true, because a lot of people like to follow these on social media now. It's something I obviously won't do and don't do. I probably am the last person on earth who watches debates this way, but I turn the debate on when it's exactly supposed to start. I have it muted until then. When it starts, I listen to it. I then turn the mute back on during all commercials or any breaks. I don't want to listen to anyone with the debaters. The debaters come back on. I turn the mute button back off. I listen to the debate. And as soon as it's finished, I turn off the TV. Meanwhile, the whole time I don't have my computer on. So I'm not letting people text. I don't have my phone on. People can't text me. I'm not looking at the internet. I'm not looking at what Twitter thinks, et cetera, because it's important when I write my column for CNN, which I do every day afterwards. I write a column for CNN.com. It's important that I'm not influenced by other people. And so I might be the last one that's just solely watching the debate on the debate itself and not watching the spin room afterwards. I don't care who wins the spin afterwards. I care who wins the debate.
Yeah,
so that's what I'm going to do.
That's the truest way, the best way to watch it. Sadly, I think you're in the minority there, Dr. Graham.
Yes, I am.
Now, most of the time, these so-called debates aren't really debates, but the fact that you don't have an audience cheering, booing, whatever, might actually make this more of a debate, won't it?
Oh, it'll make it a better debate in three different ways. The first way it makes for a better debate is that I think sometimes candidates, when there's an audience there, the audience will cheer for their answers no matter how bad they are. And I've seen this in academic debates as well. When people stack an audience with, you know, their team, if we're debating against UCLA and they stack the audience with their team and they you know, cheer or clap for any old thing UCLA would say, well, that influences people. So I think sometimes previously the audience is influence people at home because they hear somebody clap and they think, well, maybe that's a good answer, when in fact it wasn't a very good answer. So The audience can influence the people at home, so I'm glad they're not there. They can also influence whether or not the answers are good or bad, but that's just one way they influence it. I think one thing that's going to show up is humor, because the audience can influence the style of humor you use. Trump is pretty funny. I mean, I've actually voted for him in some primary debates, not voted for him, but said he won some primary debates earlier, because he made fun of Marco Rubio or Ted Cruz or others like that. So sometimes he can be playful funny. Here's what happens with no audience. When there's not an audience there, sometimes it's hard to tell if your joke is meant to be playful or harmful. And often it comes across as mean and spiteful. And so the one thing Trump needs to worry about is he plays his humor off an audience. He won't have an audience there. So it's possible that his comments, instead of coming across as funny, like playful or joyful, they're just going to come across as mean-spirited and angry. So I think the audience will play a part in that as well. Finally, moderators. The moderators have been interrupted by audiences many times before because they didn't like the questions they were asking, so they had to back off. Now the moderators can do as they please. There's no audience stopping them. I honestly think because of all these reasons, without the audience, the answers from the candidates will be laid bare. They'll be completely up there naked with just their answers to the questions, which should make for a better debate.
Yeah, good point. And microphones being muted when time is up for each candidate, is that going to make much of a difference tonight?
I hope that, you know, it improves debate like it did last time in the second Trump-Biden debate. We had that. That was the first time trying it. I've been online and looked at, you know, what's going to happen. They have a little video already up of, like, if I'm speaking, here's the other microphone. Can you hear him? No. And so it is true. You won't be able to hear the person not speaking. So that's good. They've practiced it. But the problem is it's harder to do some back and forth when you want to. And what if I'm speaking, but my microphone's not on? What if I'm saying, hey, Biden, I don't believe any of that? Well, the audience at home can't hear me, but Biden could.
Right.
It might mess up his speech. It might make him stumble, et cetera. This is actually a tactic that we use in debate. We're allowed to stand up and interrupt our opponents and say, I have a question. And usually they just say, go ahead and sit down. I'm not taking your question. But it still throws them off their beat. It throws them off their flow. Mm-hmm. So if somebody decides to interrupt in this debate, they can, but it probably won't work very well. The only thing I'm worried about is will it take the debater who's actually speaking off of their flow of thought?
Yeah, we'll see. 8 o'clock tonight, 90 minutes. And it's Dr. Todd, 90 minutes. Dr. Todd Graham, professor of debate at Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. Thank you very much. Interesting stuff.
All righty. Thank you. Take care of yourself tonight. Watch that debate. It's going to be an important one.
Yes, sir. And by the way, News Nation will also be broadcasting the debate on cable, on the News Nation cable channel. And then this is going to be really interesting. Of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is not part of the debate, but he will be on after the debate on News Nation with Chris Cuomo. And you can also hear the debate on the radio right here on WGN Radio tonight.